Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, we are joined by the 2024-2025 Tennessee FFA State President, T. Wayne Williams. So, T. Wayne, if you'd like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
Absolutely, Carson. I'm T. Wayne Williams. I'm serving as the 2024-2025 State President, as Carson just said. Extremely honored to be on this podcast today and excited for what's ahead.
Yeah, so I have about 8 questions that I wanted to ask you today, and basically just starting off, could you maybe walk through what your FFA journey has looked like?
Absolutely. So my FFA journey really started before I was in high school, I like to say, as it really started with my dad. As my dad was involved in FFA in high school when he was there at Woodbury FFA from 1985 to 1989, so pretty good bit ago, but he was involved in the agricultural mechanics contest and CDE, and he did a lot of stuff with the in the lower skills department and was actually a part of a regional winning team there in 1987, and always told me growing up, when we get to that high school level, you're going to join this program, you're going to join FFA organization. And I really didn't think much about it in elementary and middle school, but I always heard his stories of how it helped him. So coming into that freshman year, it was no doubt I was going to sign up for that agri-science class. And I always say my FFA journey truly took off my freshman year. I was 2 weeks into my agri-science class. I was really enjoying the class when my advisor put a chapter officer application on my desk. And I looked through it. I saw things like CDE, LDE, SAE, official dress, had no idea what any of it meant. Kind of got a little discouraged, kind of got a little nervous about that, and decided to not fill out the application. Well, a week goes by, and it's the next Friday, and I'm about 30 feet from the high school door about to get picked up to leave for the weekend. And my advisor rounds the corner of the hallway just as I'm about to leave and says, "I really think you need to rethink this application." So I went home that night, I took her advice, I rethought, and I was like, I'm going to take a step outside of my comfort zone here. Filled out the application, did the interview the following Monday, and was elected to my chapter sentinel position. And now looking back at that 4 years ago, I really do look back and think about how my time within FFA could have been delayed or never came to fruition if it wasn't for that one single choice of filling out that application. From there, I took off into chapter activities, chapter meetings, and then I got started in my first ever contest. It was during the COVID year, so they had Quiz Bowl virtually in January. I think our team was able to get 5th in the state, which was just ecstatic to us. We were so excited. So we took off running. I then went into Creed, really loved it. And then after Creed is when I really knew that I had a passion and a love for CDs and LDs. So I decided to take off within them. I did agricultural communications that year, an agri-science fair, nursery and landscape, and dairy judging. It was a virtual year, and I was trying to do everything I could to get involved. And I remember my one thing that I told myself my freshman year is, if they ever ask you for an opportunity in FFA, you're going to say yes. And so I took every opportunity I could that year, and that really led over into sophomore year where we had won agricultural communications my freshman year and that passion for those contests, and I really felt like I had found my place in this organization. Sophomore year, I decided I was going to take it to the next level. I got elected to my chapter's first vice president position, and that's when my advisor took another challenge at me. She said, "Let's try to win a state contest every year of your high school career," because we had checked that box off that freshman year. So that year I worked really, really hard, did a lot of contests, and was third, second. And we finally found a state-winning CDE team in meets judging, which went on to nationals. So I checked my goal there, and after winning that meet judging CDE, I was like, I think I've really found a love for this organization, but I want to take it to a higher level, and I knew that I wanted to go into a regional officer position. So that January, I went to my first ever prep course at Tennessee Tech, and I started doing interviews, started practicing that green hand test bank, and really running as a sophomore, you know, is a little scary because a lot of candidates were juniors, but I told myself, we're going to give it our best shot. We're going to be who I am, and whatever happens, happens. We know that we can leave it all out there. And a story that I love to tell that really shaped my regional officer year is it was the day of regional officer interviews. I was super nervous, and I had been with my grandpa the day before working on the farm, and he could tell I was very nervous, and he called me about 20 minutes before my interview the next day and said these words that it'll stick in my head forever. He said, "I just want you to know one thing. You're my hunting dog, even if you never catch a rabbit." And I remember laughing at it at the second, but that really caught my eye of what he was saying is, no matter what happened that day, getting elected, not getting elected, he was going to be there supporting me and be in my corner, which really meant a lot to me and kind of lessened my nerves. I went in there with no fear, presented myself, spoke about the questions, and I gave them answers to their interview questions, and waited for 2 weeks, felt like the longest 2 weeks of my life, and was elected to Regional Sentinel with an amazing officer team. Teammates that I still call and talk to this day. They mean a lot to me and have a special place in my heart. There I went into junior year, continued with CDs and LDEs, and I really think about junior year was when I really kind of faced my first challenge of adversity within FFA. As we was coming up on junior year with that goal of still winning state contests but wanting to serve Middle Tennessee FFA, while also junior year getting elected to chapter president. So much stuff going on within FFA, and I remember taking on so many contests that junior year and none of them turning out our way. We got fourth in horse judging, second in employment skills, second in quiz bowl. Could not win a state contest that year except for dairy judging. We did get first, but it felt like I had done 12 contests that year and only won one, and really was just hitting a slump in FFA. I was kind of losing my passion. I didn't know exactly where to go, and I remember telling myself and my advisors telling me, we're not going to give up. We're going to make sure that we finish this thing out strong. And that's when senior year started of, we're going to take every opportunity just like we have these past 3 years, and we're going to try to make an impact and leave a legacy. And this past year of my life has been nothing but a dream. I've dreamed these goals of taking on the contest that we did, and we truly had a special year where we was able to win some contests. And truly, last August, I looked back at my memories the other day in Facebook and Snapchat, is where I started my state officer prep for this year, and I started on August 4th last year, and I continued to practice interviews each week, ag issues practice, extemp speeches, and this year getting elected the Tennessee FFA state president. Every time I put on that jacket, it's just a surreal feeling to me, knowing that I get to represent our association. And this journey across FFA has had its ups, it's had its downs, but I wouldn't take any of it for granted. I'm so thankful for every opportunity I have and continue to have it.
Yeah, I know you were mentioning you're being selected as state officer this past year. Would you want to maybe walk through the process that you went through to get that position?
Absolutely. So the state officer process, it's a very tough process. It's a grueling process at times. I served as the nominating committee chairman my junior year, which I feel like really helped me understand the process a little bit more and what you had to go through. And so when I started my prep last August, I remember the first thing that I wanted to focus on was in the state officer process, you have three interviews, which is a leadership interview and personal interview, where they're wanting to know how much FFA knowledge you have, how much of a leader are you, and how do you possess those qualities. Then you have an agricultural issues interview, which is based on how much agricultural knowledge you have and how much you know about the issues that are coming within our industry today. And then lastly is a group interview, where they'll split you up into 5, 6, 7 people, present a scenario to you on a table. You have 20 minutes to talk with the rest of that group and work, use your teamwork skills to develop a plan for whatever scenario that might be. That may be developing a workshop. You may be presenting to Tennessee Farm Bureau. That scenario could really be anything. That nominating committee watches you work as a team for those 20 minutes, preparing what your presentation will be. And then for the next 10 minutes, you will go and you will present that in front of that nominating committee. So those are your big three. You also have a letter writing exercise, and that could be over a prompt of addressing Tennessee Farmers Co-op, addressing a Tennessee FFA chapter. Really could depend on anything there. They're wanting to see, again, your FFA knowledge, your agricultural knowledge, your neatness, your writing skills through that letter, and then your knowledge exam, which the knowledge exam is based on a mixture of FFA facts and knowledge with also agricultural knowledge and some Tennessee FFA-specific knowledge as well. And then lastly is your application, which you'll submit early in February 1st is usually when those are due. And that is really seeing how much have you been involved in FFA in prior years? What are your kind of standards and your beliefs of what Tennessee FFA should be and how you believe that you can lead? And also really just throughout that application showing why you feel like you are a strong candidate to lead Tennessee FFA. So what I started with back in August was we would do a leadership interview every week, and that would be 5 questions a week. Just kind of questions about, you know, focusing on what my leadership qualities are, what my styles are, kind of getting an idea of that. And then we also, something that I really picked up on was extemporaneous public speaking this senior year, as I really was not a fan of it sophomore and junior year. I'm a huge employment skills person. That's my favorite contest. But we picked up extemporaneous speaking to try to improve within agricultural issues. So I would do an extemp speech each week starting August, and that would just kind of be preparing me for those agricultural issues questions. I also used Tennessee Farm Bureau website, looked up the United States Department of Agriculture website, Tennessee Department of Agriculture website, trying to find any agricultural issue knowledge that I could gain. And I really think extemporaneous public speaking is what helped me in that department. For letter writing exercise, what I would do is me and my advisor would create a prompt, and I would do 2 letters a week, just trying to prep on, because I'm not the neatest handwriter in the world, so I had to work on my handwriting a lot to make sure that it was how I needed to be, and really tried to just focus on my neatness, making sure that I was adding my facts into it. The application, probably, I started it in December, so I took 3 solid months to really hone in and work on making sure that I was putting everything that I could into it. And then the group interview, it was probably the toughest part for me throughout the process, because it's a hard thing to prep and plan for. Because if you're back at your home chapter, you really can't practice in a group of 5 to 7 practicing out a scenario. So I would try to look over those group scenarios that I would have at prep courses, but I really leaned hard on practicing for group interviews within those prep courses, took that feedback as much as I could, and tried to just make out little plans and little check marks of this is what I want to accomplish in the group interview. And as time went on from August to March, we would continue upping more leadership interviews, more extemp speeches, but that's really what my process of prepping for that was.
Yeah, and you recently with the state officer team, y'all attended a foundational training and state officer summit up in D.C. Would you maybe want to share a little bit about that experience?
Yes, by far my favorite trip that I've ever taken with FFA or just in my life in general is our foundation training was just absolutely incredible, as we got to sit on the House floor of Agricultural Committee during our training. Just an unreal feeling to know that you're in the same room that the leaders of our nation are who make the decisions about agriculture, our number one industry within the nation. So throughout that foundation training, we did many things. We practiced stand and delivers of what the message of FFA is. We went over dining etiquette, social media posts. We also went over note-taking, several things that would help us be better leaders and to serve Tennessee FFA more. Also got a private Capitol tour on Sunday night while we was there, which was awesome, getting to go into the Capitol with nobody else in it and touring it. Unreal feeling to be at your nation's capital and to see all of those historic things and knowing that you're taking the same steps and are in the same building that so many leaders in our nation have been at as well. And then we rode into State Officer Summit that Monday, and that was such a cool experience getting to see so many other state officers from other states and see how their process works and what in their association they like to do and what contests they deliver at their state competitions. So cool to see how many state associations work differently, but it all works for them. And that's how they make their members the best that they can be. And I made some really lifelong friendships there that I'm still talking to every day after the summit. So such a cool feeling, because it really did help us learn how to be better advocates and better leaders throughout our state officer year.
Yeah, and I have one more question about the state officer stuff, and yes, then I'm going to move on to another thing. But what has your Absolutely. Favorite memory or thing been about serving as a state officer?
Whew. There's been a whole lot of memories in these past 4 months and 2 weeks of my year of service, but I would think my favorite part so far has definitely been forestry and FFA camp, as that has been the time where I've got to be involved around the members the most and get to know so many of our Tennessee FFA members. And those are the times that I truly value, is making those strong connections with the members within our association. And there's so many times that I can look back on this summer and still smile and laugh about because of the connections that I made with Tennessee FFA members. So that has to be my favorite part. Really, me and State Treasurer Eli Julian was talking about it just the other day. There hasn't been a moment that I've looked back and not cherished so far. Like, every single second that I've got to be within this position and every opportunity that we've had has been amazing, once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. But camp has definitely been a special thing and holds a really special place in my heart.
Yeah, moving on, because you did a lot at state this year. You got a lot of awards. You did a bunch at state. And one thing that I really wanted to ask about was, do you want to share a little bit about being selected as the state star in agriscience?
Absolutely. So Star in Agriscience was definitely one of the most prestigious awards that I was able to receive at state convention. And what that started with is, way back freshman year when I had mentioned that I started in agriscience fair, that first year I come from a fourth generation beef production farm. And what we did is a study called Bovine by Design, which was traditional beef versus plant-based beef. And we did a study on the public's perception of what they prefer in their shopping and dining preferences. So I had about 144 respondents to that, and really took off there with that project of learning exactly what does our public think about traditional versus plant-based beef. And that was able to go on to be a national finalist, which really got me hooked on agriscience there. The next year, my sophomore year, I went into a project called The Stakes Are High, which was conducted on my family's farm. We took 20 weaned calves, and 10 of them we used a pour-on dewormer, and the other 10 we used an injectable dewormer. And we would weigh them every week. We would continue to increase their feed rations as they increase their weight, and we would also evaluate their body condition scores, and we would see which one of those dewormers was having more of effect and impact on the cattle. Really cool experience, because you could see so many of our producers within our state and our nation use pour-on dewormer because it's very quick, it's very easy, it's very convenient, but that injectable dewormer made so much more of an impact on their weight and their overall health with body condition scores. So that was a really cool project to see. Next year, I kind of switched and got away from the animal side of it, kind of wanted to dive into more social systems. So I went with a topic that I see and we are continuing to see within agriculture education, which is agricultural educators leaving the classroom to pursue higher positions within education, such as CTE directors, principals, vice principals. Very cool one. I was able to get about 96 respondents on it, 79 that were current agricultural teachers and 17 that have been in those administrative positions. That was such a cool experience, and doing that agriscience fair, that was probably my favorite one that I've done, just because you could see that our agricultural educators are simply the future of education as a whole. And then lastly, this last senior year, I've always tried to be involved as much as I can within FFA. So I had done social systems, I had done animal systems, so I decided that I wanted to go into power and structural and technical into the mechanic systems projects, where I did the Charge the Fence, which was a study on the effectiveness of livestock within fences. So really what we studied there was studying how electrical fence versus barbed wire versus other fence materials contain livestock for their overall safety. Pretty cool. One that I never really thought of until I started doing some research onto it. And it became a really cool project to see how we can keep all of our livestock safe. So when looking at STAR and AgriScience, I was able to combine all four of those projects and submitted on that application, which any STAR application is a very rigorous application. It's much like a proficiency. So I put them all on there, and remember at the regional contest, going in there, giving my interview about exactly what my SAE was, what my projects were. I felt really good about it. Knew there were some really good competitors there that night at regionals, and was really just happy to be in the contest. Was able to win that night at regionals, just beyond soaked. My whole goal of it was to make it on stage at state convention. So then that we got to state, we kind of made some tweaks to the application that we had put in, and overall went into that interview. A very tough interview, was probably one of the toughest interviews that I've been a part of, was that STAR and AgriScience interview at state. Really challenged you with the questions that they asked. Came out of it, was feeling a little nervous, feeling a little unweary. Had the whole family up there that week at Gatlinburg. And I remember Lee Maddox coming up to the stage to announce the winner. My heart was beating at 100 miles per hour. And when I just heard him say Woodbury, I just remember being so happy, so thankful, getting to have my whole family there, three generations of my family farm right there on stage with me to receive that honor. Was something truly special. And then just over a month ago, I was able to participate in the Tennessee FFA STAR Tour, where all of our STARs, STAR Farmer, STAR in Agribusiness, STAR in Ag Placement, and our STAR Green Hand was able to take a statewide tour and see so many facilities across our state that make up our great state of agriculture. So it was really cool to see all of those opportunities, and it's been one of the coolest things about my FFA career is being the STAR in AgriScience, for sure.
Yeah, and I was there at camp that week whenever y'all stopped by for the tour. And honestly, like, all of those presentations were some of the most influential things I've ever heard, honestly.
So, yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, I love being able to sit in and hear all that. So, yeah. Recently, FFA surpassed a huge milestone, which, of course, mm-hmm. if anybody doesn't know, that is 1 million members. Yeah. Do you want to share of what you see FFA, like what direction you see FFA going in the near future?
Absolutely. So I see FFA continuing to grow and continuing to shine as we're the number one student-led membership organization right now. And I really do feel like that we are maximizing on our potential of the three component model of classroom and laboratory, FFA, and SAE. And I think so many more incoming freshmen, incoming middle schoolers are seeing the impact that FFA has on students' lives. So I really see the trajectory continuing to increase. As at State Officer Summit, we was looking at the numbers and they hadn't released the official 1 million yet. They did hint towards it, but we're looking at within the next 3 years, if we can continue to advocate like we have been for FFA, we can meet 1.6 million members, which is truly something special to start thinking about. So having that many members nationwide, and here within Tennessee FFA, we're continuing to try to find untapped potential within middle school programs to try to increase our membership and provide so many more students opportunities to take within FFA. As seeing that 1 million mark finally be reached really is something that we should celebrate. And I also think that we need to continue to search for those more membership to make sure that we are reaching the utmost potential that we can within our organization. Is something that I always pitch to people thinking about joining FFA is, yes, we are focused on cultivating the future farmers of America, but we also are cultivating the future biologists, the future chemists, the future teachers, the future engineers, future doctors, there are so many people who join FFA but don't go down the agricultural pathway once they leave, which is okay because they gain so many of those leadership skills that they can take into their pathway, but they also have knowledge within our most important industry. So it's a really cool thing, and I think that we're going to see FFA continuing to grow.
Yeah, I remember I was just sitting there, and I randomly scrolled on my phone, and I saw somebody had posted a story, and I was like, wonder what this could be. It was just the most vague thing ever. I was like, yeah, they're announcing some new program, something like that. And then the end of it hits, and I'm like, finally, yay, we did it.
Yes, finally.
That's been something that I know a lot of people have been waiting to see for a while. And
yes.
Can't wait to see how much farther it goes. I know you were mentioning 1.6 million over the next few, possibly reaching that. And I'm like, that's crazy for 600,000 more to possibly, you know, get into it and be involved over the next few years.
Yep.
It's so crazy. Do you want to talk a little bit about, I know you went to governor's school last year, I believe. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I haven't had anybody, you know, share anything about that yet. So,
for sure. The Tennessee Governor's School for Agricultural Sciences, I would recommend to absolutely anybody, because I will say that that is one of the parts of me that I was probably the most nervous about throughout my high school career, was applying to it, if I was going to get in, if I was going to like it. But I can say I learned so much more agricultural knowledge and skills in 1 month than I probably ever will again because of that program. It was tough for me. I was in the middle of my regional officer year, didn't really know exactly what I was going to do. Martin, 4.5 hours away from my house, knew that I would be gone for 4 weeks. So much came into turning in that application for governor's school. About 2 weeks before the deadline, I decided we're going to try to take a chance to step outside of our comfort zone again and grow. So we took that step. We applied. I was actually in Colorado for the Next Gen Animal Systems Conference for FFA when I got the email saying that I made it. And I was just ecstatic, so happy that I got in. And I remember the next few months kind of feeling a little nervous because I knew that I was going to be leaving home for a solid month. And got there, was a little nervous about meeting everybody, but so many of them were FFA members that I already met. And it immediately felt like that we found a home and a community right there within Cooper Hall at University of Tennessee at Martin. And the agribusiness classes with Dr. Melhorn taught me so many skills and actually got me a college credit, which is something that you never take for granted. And then the veterinary science group study project, probably the coolest part of the whole thing. We got to see so many tours like Tosh Farms, Tyson. Getting to see those facilities on a big platform was something that was so cool and shows just how impactful agriculture is within our state. And I still look back at that month and think about how much it helped me grow as a person and how much it helped me grow within agriculture. And that's another part that I still talk to people that I met with at Governor's School to this day. And some are going to Martin now this fall. Some are coming to other universities, but we're still talking and we still have made those lifelong friendships that I will always cherish.
Yeah, that's one thing that I really like to see, because like I'm about an hour away from Martin. I go up there a handful of times a year, and like that campus alone is like awesome. I know that's a really, really great opportunity that they offer there, and honestly I haven't decided if I want to shoot that shot this upcoming summer or not, but we'll see.
I think you should. It's awesome. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to. I've been looking into it, but I haven't, you know, decided or anything like that. But
for sure.
So, I actually do have one more question about the whole state officer and regional officer process.
Yeah.
So you said you attended a few prep courses. Do you want to share a little bit about those prep courses?
Yes. So I attended my first prep course. It would have been my sophomore year, January of 22 at Tennessee Tech. And those prep courses really helped me a lot with just kind of trying to find ways to improve. Is really, you know, we can practice all that we want to at home with our leadership questions, our ag issues questions, but not having that feedback of here's what we need to improve on. And yes, it helps going to that ag teacher and they're going to give you all the feedback, and I'm forever thankful for everything that my FFA advisors have done for me to help me with my interviewing skills. But sometimes at those prep courses, it helps so much to see somebody have a completely different mindset on your interview skills, your leadership skills, how much ag knowledge you have. So those prep courses by far was very helpful throughout my regional and state office time. As truly, I thought that they were so helpful my sophomore year when I got elected to regional office. Going into my junior year, I still attended those prep courses when I wasn't running for state office, just so I could continue to practice my interview skills, because I felt like they were so helpful. And Farm Bureau's prep course that they put on there in Columbia is by far one of my favorites. They do a great, great job at hosting that or that event with so many agricultural knowledge facts that you can find. Also having some great people there to give you feedback. Really, a lot of them who work there have been in FFA and were former regional and state officers. So if you're looking at going into any type of regional or state office, those prep courses are by far one of the biggest helpful tools that you can have in your back pocket.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I was on the way, like, I went to the one in Martin this past year for region, and I really wasn't decided if I was running, if I'm not. Like, I was just going to go and see what, you know, to get my feet wet, I guess you could say. And, you know, walking into that room, I was very scared. Sat secluded myself almost the whole entire time. And, you know, it was a very great time of, like, getting feedback and learning on what you can improve on. And honestly, I'm super excited to be kicking them back off in January again. But yeah, they're definitely something that I enjoy and
for sure
would suggest to anybody.
I had the really kind of the same thing that you had. Is my first prep course there at Tech, I don't know why we did this, but we started that day with group interviews. And so when we started with group interviews, I'll never forget my first ever group interview. I didn't know what a group interview was, didn't know what to expect, because I was running for regional office, and they threw me in one, and I was in there with Hannah Magel, Faith Cook, and we started, and they were just flying ideas around, throwing out facts and everything. I was a sophomore, and I was scared, nervous, didn't know what to do. And so that one, really just learning from them in that room, helped me so much, even through my regional process. So I get exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's hard to sometimes take that step of faith, but once you do, I say it over and over, once you take that step, it's going to be something that definitely is rewarding. And
absolutely,
I think that's one of them. So, of course, you have a good bit left as a state officer. Do you want to share maybe what you're really looking forward to over the rest of your year of service?
So we've got 8 months left, which it's hard to remind me because I'm already feel like a third of our year is already gone, which really hurts. But what I'm looking forward to the most is continuing to put the members first, as I think that that's something that our whole state officer strives on doing, our whole state officer team strives to do, is making sure that we're helping every member that we can. And I'm looking forward to do that through chapter officer or chapter visits. As chapter visits, I feel like we really can make a connection with those members and really help them find their place within this organization. So I'm really looking forward to that. Here on Friday, I leave out for McEwen FFA's officer retreat. Super excited to connect with that officer team, see what their goals are for this year, and trying to provide them help on how they can make an impact on their home chapter. And so it's really what I'm excited most about is meeting more members, making more connections. Goodwill Tour, it'll be coming up in February, and that'll be something that'll really be a cool experience. We've all heard about it. Mr. Inman says it's one of the coolest weeks that we'll get to experience as state officers. So really looking forward to that week where we get to travel the state while also continuing to meet members. But definitely continuing on those chapter visits and making those connections is what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, I know that all eight of y'all are going to have a fantastic rest of y'all's year, and I can't even imagine what impact y'all are going to end up leaving on Tennessee FFA, because it's going to be a big one. And so I have a few more questions that I wanted to ask, and I cannot believe I have waited this long in this episode to ask this question, but do you want to share about your connection to the agricultural industry?
Yes, for sure. So I got my start within agriculture, as I tell people when they ask me this question of how I got started in agriculture, I tell them it's in my name, literally. My full name is Troy Martin Wayne Williams. And Troy, who is my great-grandfather, started my family's beef operation, which then passed down to my grandfather, Wayne, and is now currently being ran by my father, Martin. So there's three generations of agriculturalists within my name that are on my family's beef production farm that is still going today. So that's my connection to agriculture. We run about 40 head of commercial cattle here on our farm in Liberty, Tennessee, over 116 acres. We've also got some, we've got about 25 acres within hay, and then we do about 15 acres or so sometimes in beans or wheat. So really cool, not a huge operation, but always been a part of me, always been instilled in me to continue on that family legacy of our production farm. So that's been my connection to agriculture.
I love just being able to hear everybody's, like, you know, because of course everybody comes from a different background in the industry.
Yes.
And I've talked to many over the past years or whatever, and just hearing all the connections to the industry, like everybody's as individual, like, you know, I don't even know what word I'm trying to look for. I'll figure it out later.
Yeah, for sure. No, you're correct. It is. It's really cool. And something that I really think is so cool is how many members we have now within Tennessee FFA and National FFA that don't come from an ag background or still involved in our organization, or our leaders on a chapter level, leaders on a regional officer level. I know Sarah Naver came from a background of agriculture, and here she is a state officer. So I really do think that it's so cool that we still have production ag kids, but we also have those who are completely new to agriculture.
Yeah, and that ties right into the next question. So how would you pitch FFA, or how would you get a member that is hesitant to get involved to get involved?
How I would pitch what FFA is and how I would get them to be involved is, first, going back to exactly what I was saying a little bit ago about how, yes, we are Future Farmers of America. That is what the FFA stands for in the National FFA organization. But we also are cultivating the next future leaders, the next future doctors, veterinarians, teachers. So many people that I've saw in my high school, at other high schools that I've talked to, so many of them think, well, if I don't come from that farm, if I don't come from that ag background, then I don't need to take that ag class. I don't need to be involved in FFA, which is completely untrue, as there truly is a spot for anyone within our organization, which I think is so cool, because I don't really feel like many CTSOs within the nation can say that they have a spot for every student within every classroom. And I truly feel like FFA does, from leadership skills to providing them with skills that they can go on to any other pathway that they want, but also getting them involved within the important industry of agriculture. So always what I've pitched is, yes, at our core, we are agriculture, but we also are focused on leadership. And we're going to provide you so many qualities that you can use within your life, even if you don't go into an agricultural pathway.
And I do have one more question. And that question, the last question I have is, what is your favorite competition in FFA?
My favorite competition within FFA is employment skills. It has always been my baby. I've loved employment skills since sophomore year when I started it. I remember I got done with Creed speaking my freshman year. I said, what's next? And they told me, you know, we could do extemporaneous public speaking, we could do prepared, or we could do employment skills. And when I heard about what employment skills was, with an interview and you get to make your own job that is agricultural related, I jumped right on it. I just felt like that would be the one that would prepare me most for my future. And I truly do believe, I know I talked earlier about how extemporaneous public speaking helped me so much throughout the state officer process. Employment skills helps you so much too, because you go before that judge and you have to tell them why you're the best candidate for your job. And when you're looking at a regional office or a state office, well, within every interview, you're trying to explain to that panel why you're the best fit and why you're the best candidate. So it's helped me in so many ways. And the journey I've had with employment skills is one that I will always cherish. Sophomore year, I was able to make it to the state contest, which I was just absolutely so excited for, making it there that year. got third in the state, very happy. And the next year, I had planned it. I was like, I'm going to win employment skills. This is my year. Think I put a little bit too much pressure on myself. Went into that interview room. Think I just forced a little bit of it and really wasn't myself. Wasn't too happy with how the interview went. Got second in the state that year. And this past year, just completely nervous the whole time from districts to state of if I was going to be able to pull it off, because it is my favorite contest. It's the one that I cherish the most. And we made it to state. And I remember right before I went into the interview room, just sending a prayer up to the Lord saying, let me perform to the highest of my abilities, and whatever happens, I can live with. And I truly feel like he answered that call. I feel like I was able to perform to the highest of my abilities. All that practice paid off. And then got to the stage, and when they said T. Wayne Williams Woodbury for employment skills, I knew right then, I was like, we're going to nationals with this contest. This has been a special ride. And I've started prep for at nationals, and I'm very excited to compete at employment skills coming up in October.
Oh, yeah. The speaking competitions are like some of the best things ever. I did Creed freshman year, and I am doing Extemp now. And I can't even describe how much I love them competitions.
Yes, they are so good.
But, yeah, so unfortunately, that is all that I have for today. But do you have, like, any closing remarks that you'd like to give?
Yes. First, just thank you for having me on this podcast. This is really cool. I want to give a shout-out for everyone who is continuing to listen to the Empowering of Agriculture and the Future of Agriculture with Carson, that we need more people and more members within our association and with our organization that are advocating for agriculture and FFA through stuff like this, podcasts, social media, making sure that we are being relevant out there in all aspects of life is going to help us make our goal of having more people join our organization and more people benefit our association. So continue to try to find ways to advocate. We've been doing a great job. I'm not the best with social media. I'm still trying to work on it, but making sure that we're getting our voices heard is something that will truly help us reach our goals within FFA.
Of course. And thank you again for being on the podcast today. I've definitely enjoyed talking to you and hearing your story about many things. And yeah, so that is all that I have for this episode, y'all. Thank y'all for listening, and I'll be back next Monday.